If you would please stand with me for the invocation, we have Stan Johnson from Cuna Life Church.
Mayor, Council, let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this night. Again, thank you for the great city. Thank you for our leadership. We just ask you to bless them and give them wisdom and decisions they make. With our police officers and firefighters, thank you for what they do for us. We ask you to watch over them tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 If you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. The first item is the consent agenda.
Mayor, if I may, I have two items. I just wanted to see, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but it looks like there was on page 22 of accounts payable, there was another computer purchased. It seems like we've bought quite a few this year, and I just might have missed it. Or are we just rotating computers out, or what are we doing? I don't know if anybody can answer that.
Yes, go ahead.
I think I can answer that. That was for my new employee.
Okay. Oh. There's just
and
no.
And it was budgeted.
Okay. For. There's just no name on it on this one, so
I was
curious.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was for.
Okay. The other thing I had, and I don't know if this is probably something Bobby may have to answer. On page 36, there is a purchase for 6 shovels for $310, and then right below it there's a purchase for 1 shovel for $9. I'm just trying to understand the differences between what we bought.
Councilmember Jones, the 6 shovels was from Silver Creek Supply, and those are the pointed shovels with the fiberglass handles. Which is a kind of a safety thing while digging. And the other shovel was a square nose shovel from Safety Specialty Construction. And it was just a lighter one, not as heavy duty as the pointed ones. So it's a totally different shovel for a different use.
And just so I understand, you're, because obviously I don't use shovels very much in my line of work, a fiberglass shovel is safer than a wood handle shovel.
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor.
Before we go any further, I neglected to have Chris call the roll. If you would do that now, please.
Council President Cardoza?
Here.
Council Member Jones?
Here.
Council Member Boobin Wanderhaar?
Here.
Council Member McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. Okay, thank you. Now we can continue. Mr. Cardoza, did you have a question?
No, I was just going to remind you to have roll call. I'm sorry.
See, I got it from both sides, so I'm good. Okay, anything further? If not, the question of consent agenda is before council.
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member Boobin Wanderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
Okay. Next item is Community Reports Recycling Program Update. Chad Gordon, J&M Sanitation.
Mayor, council members, for the record, Chad Gordon, J&M Sanitation, 688 Swan Falls Road. A little while ago, we'd come and talk to you guys about the potential for trying to create a commingled recycling program. And with the last discussion that we had, we kind of came to the idea of trying to put together a survey and get some information out to the citizens about the program and to see what their response would be in regards to that. At this point, I have gotten a survey put together along with a letter to go out with the city utility billing. And I just want to kind of put it in front of you guys, see what your thoughts were. We had a couple ideas on how to kind of get this information out to people, how we want to handle the survey, so on and so forth. I think that Chris has got the surveys to you guys and the cover letter. So we'll start with the survey first. So this is done through SurveyMonkey. It's a website. You can set up surveys, and then it'll create a web link, something we can use either on our Facebook page, on the city website, or sending it out in a letter to people to let them know, you know, go to this website address, go ahead and take the survey if you're interested. I know we had a set of questions prior. This covers the majority of them, I think, with a couple of more concerns that were brought up in the last meeting. I'm trying to address those also. So if everybody's had a chance to go through it, if they have any questions in regards to it, if they want me to go over it, we can do that first and foremost to make sure that the survey looks like something everybody's comfortable with.
Just two comments. The first on the survey, question 7, says if we change to the voluntary 95-gallon tip cart commingled program, how many carts do you need delivered to your home? My answer on that, is that how many carts I'm going to get? Like, there's not another chance later for me to say something, or?
That's what we were thinking, is we're going to use that to base our deliveries off of
okay.
If we go to this program. So, yes, I see where you're kind of going with that. We probably maybe need to clarify that this would be the number that we would deliver.
Yeah, maybe just something in parentheses or afterwards saying, like, you can order another one later if you need it, or if it turns out that don't want to participate or something, you can cancel at any time. I don't know. So
okay.
Just so that they're clear, like,
clarifies
you're actually ordering it.
Yeah.
Assuming we switch over, this is what we're going to be.
That
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Something
that's
like that. And then the only other thing was on the cover letter, it says, you know, I'm going to use air quotes to show when there's quotations. So in replacing our current voluntary weekly green bin recycling program with a voluntary, the voluntary in quotes makes it seem like it's not actually voluntary. Like we're saying it's voluntary, but it's not actually, because you know what I'm saying? So I would just suggest omitting the quotes so that they trust us that it really is voluntary.
We're not pulling the wool over.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to convey the part that it was voluntary so
yeah.
that there's not a concern on people's part that I'm going to have this forced down my throat and I don't want to participate in it. So, you know, we just want to convey that to them. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Very good. Further question?
I guess I just have one other thing. I'm sorry. I know that at one, let's see, where was it? Question 6, it says given the choice, which do you prefer? But I guess I just want to make sure that it's clear that it's not going to be like you get to choose which one you want to do moving forward. Like we're either keeping what we have now or everybody will be switching over. Just so people don't think
that there's going to be,
the option. Yeah.
I thought we could kind of address that someplace.
I mean, it says in the first sentence of the cover letter, it says, you know, we're evaluating the interest in replacing our current voluntary program with a voluntary biweekly tip cart.
Yeah.
But I guess just making it, Maybe in question 6 you could even modify it slightly so it's instead of given the choice, or I don't know. Just something, I guess, that would
clarify one versus that we will only have one versus the other. We will not have both of them.
Yeah. I mean, maybe even for number 7, it could say something along the lines of, like, assuming the survey indicates, you know, an more of an interest in switching, how many should we deliver? Just, I'm wanting to make sure that people understand, like, yeah, if enough people say yes, like, this is what's going to happen for everybody.
The program that we go to, and it'll be the program that we have. Okay, so clarifying that somehow, and then clarifying the fact that the number of carts parts delivered to your home will be the actual number that you get, but at any time that could you can change that.
Yeah, maybe even in the cover letter, just saying something like, if the survey indicates sufficient interest in replacing our current green bin program with the tip cart program, you will receive further information regarding like how to turn in your green bins or.
We were actually going to let people keep those.
Oh, okay.
So they work well as storage bins, I've heard. So. I think I see more of them used that way, but yeah, I mean we can, you know, and we could even go back and I just thought, you know, to save the citizens a little bit of time if they're going through taking the survey and then they can go ahead and input
yeah.
how many carts they would like. We then, especially with this program, we could create a list that connects the name, address, with the number of carts then to create a delivery system in order to get those rolled out to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clarifying that shouldn't be a problem. I can go through and change a couple of those things on both of them to kind of clarify that and maybe get a copy back after you guys, or everybody can just review one more time before we actually make it go live.
I feel fairly comfortable with whatever your final product is since we've talked about it a couple of times. Last thing for real, and then I'll stop talking. A number 7, you might just reiterate. I know that in number 6 it says, you know, $2 per cart per month thing, but you might just reiterate in 7, okay. How many carts do you need? Like, note, each cart costs $2 per month or something like
okay.
that.
So just get the cost part of it back to them again. Okay.
And then maybe even on number 6, instead of just saying, given the choice of only one recycling program, which do you prefer? You might just say there will only be one recycling program. Which option would you prefer?
Thank you for working on this so much.
Not a problem.
So the question,
Chad.
Yeah.
Is there, it asked for the survey being filled out. It looks like there's a third option that was cut off. It says or www.
Yes, so that was the next part of the presentation that I was going to get to.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Not a problem, not a problem. So in thinking about what was the best way to get this information out to the citizens, I know we've tried numerous different avenues to try to get that information out and get as much response back as possible. The one thing we wanted to see was what you guys' take on having one sole source for collecting this data being this survey. So therefore, we would take it, we would obviously send this letter out with their billing, informing them to either go to the City of CUNA's website, J&M Sanitation's Facebook page, the City of CUNA's, you know, Facebook page, or whatever the web link address that came up for the survey, because they create one for you. And if it's a real long one, then you can use a service called Bitly that will bring it down to a short URL so somebody's not having to sit there and type in 200 letters to get to it. We wanted to know if you felt like that was going to be a sufficient enough source to gain feedback from the citizens doing it solely through this one survey, or if you had any other suggestions.
And obviously one survey is easier because everything's in one central location. And
exactly. And I know the first one that we came out with was kind of a letter that had all the questions involved in it, and I just thought that trying to compose those two sources into one and get some sort of accurate list of people, addresses, carts, and not getting them duplicated, you know, in our mind, you know, being able to use it as one source would have been the most efficient way to do it. You know, and obviously we can put things on CUNA Mobile News, put something up on the reader board here, the reader board at the old address, trying to get that information out to people as much as possible so everybody that, you know, wants to have that opportunity to give us their feedback gets that opportunity. And obviously leaving the survey up for some time and you know, allowing people to get that information to us.
That gives me two thoughts. The first is, would it be, I'm asking this of Chris and of you, would it be too cumbersome if we included like an option for them to call? Like, I'm thinking of somebody who maybe doesn't, like, is nervous about, maybe they're not familiar with how to do online surveys or what, for whatever, they don't have a computer or whatever, that if they get this with their bill, they'd be able to call either J&M or the clerk's office, and just over the phone, like, one of you guys could open up the survey and fill it out for the person and putting their info and stuff. Would that be too much of a time suck? I'm not sure how much feedback we get that way.
I think it's a fine option. I mean, we don't mind if J&M doesn't mind.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that was something that we had discussed for the, you know, that portion that might have that issue. And I think we would have no problem having just putting our number in. So then it's not obviously creating a burden, but also trying to keep, again, keep it as efficient as possible, answer people's questions. Obviously, we're going to be well-versed in this, you know, and able to answer their questions that they have and walk them through that same survey. Like we said, just go online and take the survey form and fill in the information out, and then hopefully we cover the basis of those people. So that would be another piece that we would add to this. You know, the survey can be filled out online, or, you know, if you need
by calling
Jane and Sanitation, and we can walk them through that.
You mentioned leaving the survey open for a period of time. I might suggest, like, saying what that period of time is in the survey, just so people know, like, sometimes I like to procrastinate, and so knowing, like, when I need to do it by in order to still be able to participate in the survey portion, yeah, or even, you know, including, please complete the survey by, you know, June 1st, and then if we switch, we're anticipating the cards would be delivered by whenever, like, when the program would start, or just, yeah, something like that, just so people kind of know when they need to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's easy enough. I mean, I was really, this is the first time I've ever put together one of these Survey Monkeys, and it's really easy to put together and manipulate, so that's not a problem. We can add some of that information in there. And then, of course, you know, you're going to have that fair share of people that, you know, didn't read it, or that was the other thing I had talked with John about, is potentially being able to send something to the customers that aren't getting a paper bill like we had discussed last time. So trying to figure out all those logistics to get them at least this initial piece of information that directs them towards the survey and get that information out to them. And what we've seen in the past a lot of times is we'll roll this out and, you know, you'll have three customers on the street that are doing it, and then the next two across the street see they're doing it and they call in, and then we'll be able to provide them, you know, the service at that time because they'll, you know, they'll see the neighbor is doing it. As far as the survey, obviously, at that point we will make the decision one way or the other if we're doing it, but they will all have an opportunity to participate at that point when they want to.
Cool. The clerk's office could post on Nextdoor, too. I think that's becoming more and more of a resource, so hopefully that'll, yeah.
Chad, when do you think you're wanting to do this? How much time do you think you need?
My plate is really full right now, and I hate to say that, but we have Melville cleanup coming up this weekend. We have CUNA cleanup coming next weekend. I got a lot of personal stuff going on right now. My hope is, and we're working on, we are currently working on the financing with the banks for the purchase of the carts. It's a, you know, it's a big purchase, and so I've negotiated with a couple different cart companies to get the pricing down. And so we're working those numbers out with them currently as we speak.
I guess what I meant more was on the survey.
Sorry,
I guess I could have been more specific.
That I was hoping after we get through these two cleanups is to really have a focus of getting it out there and getting the information to the people and trying to, you know, maybe within a month or two of that, starting the rollout of the carts. We currently have about 1,600 customers participating in the recycling program. I'm anticipating with the increase of people that want to do it because of the ease of the system, we might see that jump to 2,500, 3,000, so we're going to have to go through a process of rolling the carts out and then set a date where we stop doing one service and we start the other because we have to use a separate truck to do so. I'm hoping, you know, I can potentially get the survey out in May, and then, you know, maybe June, July could be starting the rollout of the carts if we, you know, depending on the feedback that we got back.
I was only asking because I'm assuming you probably already thought of this, but, I mean, you have that opportunity on the 29th to promote that. Isn't it clean up the 29th?
Yeah.
To use that as maybe hand out a flyer or something like that.
We can always hand, you know, something out explaining it. And unfortunately, that day is a super hectic day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And this is going to be a new one this year because of the fact that we changed the site and trying to see how the flow of traffic and everything goes. We can definitely try to do something there to try to get the information. If nothing more, I'll put up some sort of reader board or something there at the entrance of the site so that it at least gets people, you know, aware of it.
I just recently had
somebody on Facebook post something about recycling, and so I commented on there that, you know, be looking for a commingled recycling survey. Mm-hmm. Please take it so you can have your input in the system. So, and we'll try to get as much of that information out there to get as much response as possible on it. Obviously, once we decide to close down that survey, get the results compiled, and then, you know, bring it back to you guys and let you know what we found on that.
Okay.
Well, I do appreciate all your work you're putting into it, and whoever's helping you. So, I mean, I do really appreciate it. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions?
All right. Very good. Thank you. Any further questions?
One more, Chad.
Yeah.
Why is number 8 there? If it's going to be a survey, you're asking for email, phone number, country. Why is all that necessary in a...
So the purpose for that was in conjunction with the number of carts that they would like, so we can compile a list from this for delivery of the cans if we do decide to go to the commingled recycling program. It kind of cuts out one step of having to go back again and ask people to send us their information or contact us. If they've got all that information in there along with how many cans that they would like, we can compile a list through this program for our delivery process of being able to get the cans rolled out to the customers.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anything further?
No. Good job. Thanks.
Chad, right. Thank you again.
I'll keep it first.
Thank you.
The next item is a public hearing. Public hearing in consideration to approve 17-01-CPMA comp plan map amendment from Trevor Kessner. Applicant Teco One LLC request to amend the CUNA comprehensive plan map designation for the subject property approximately 5.9 plus or minus acres from medium density residential to a commercial C1 zoning for future designation. The subject site is currently zoned RUT, Rural Urban Transition, in Ada County. No annexation or development applications accompany this request. This site is located at the northwest corner of Deer Flat and 10 Mile Road. Trevor.
Mr. Mayor, council members, Mr. Mayor, thank you for just reading everything that is before you tonight. I don't know if I need to say anything further. As you said, this just under 6-acre parcel is located at the northwest corner of Deer Flat and 10 Mile. It's situated right directly in front of the multifamily at Crimson Point that's developing out at this point. The applicants, obviously, they are not submitting any development applications. They're not even annexing at this point. They just want to change the comprehensive plan map to kind of designate this as a future commercial in preparation for future development, should they decide to sell or should they decide to develop themselves. Sending this out for agency review, we got a slew of comments back of what the applicant would be required to do in the future should they develop. So it's a good, thorough, robust recommendations from the agencies about what would be needed for future development. City staff would support this request. I think that I think it's prudent for us to preserve potential future commercial sites along 10 Mile as it develops as a corridor to the freeway going north. So I'll stand for any questions you have for me on the staff report. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay. Questions for Trevor?
No.
All right. Thank you. This is a public hearing. The sign-up sheet we had on the table didn't have anybody sign up. Is there anyone in the audience who wished to testify on this matter that didn't get a chance to sign up? Okay. I need you to sign up on the sheet there, if you would. Just so I can watch what you're doing. Okay. Yeah, then if you would state your name and address for the record.
Mr. Mayor, Council, Tuck Ewing, representing actually the applicant. So, Teco 1. 1500 North El Dorado, Boise, 83704. Just wanted to stand up. Didn't realize I had to sign in, so I apologize
for that.
Okay. But we concur with everything staff said. Obviously, some of the agencies that sent the report in, I'm not sure we agree with all that, but that's okay at this point. So we we certainly appreciate you guys' consideration to get that comp plan amended, and I think it will be the highest and best use for that property. So with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions?
No.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So the public hearing actually is open. Is there anyone else who didn't get a chance to sign up to testify who wishes to do so? Okay, seeing none, if we can have a motion to close the public hearing part.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to close the public hearing for 17-01-CPMA. Just appears to be a very good place for a commercial type of development, so I appreciate that application.
There's a motion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If there was any further discussion by council.
Motion to close the public hearing. We still haven't voted on
it. Oh, okay. Did we have a motion and a second?
Yes.
Okay. Motion and second to close the public hearing. All those in say, I need you to poll the council. Right. I keep getting ahead of myself here today.
Slow down. Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member Boone-Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
Okay, and the public hearing is closed. Now, discussion with the council.
Well, I agree with Joe. I think that corner is excellent for commercial development. In looking at the comp plan, it meets with our community vision statement that talks about creating business and light commercial use centers within neighborhoods. And there are a number of neighborhoods right around that corner, which I think would be well served by having something within walking distance. I think the comp plan also mentions that particularly with multifamily housing, and that's nice to have those located closer to resources, facilities and things like that within walking distance. It goes, again, just touching on kind of our neighborhood core concept in terms of a mixed density community and with close access to community services. Because I think it complies with city code and also meets the goals of our comp plan, I would move we approve 17-01-CPM with the proposed conditions of approval listed in the packet.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion from council? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next item, recognition of service for Gordon Law, CUNA City Engineer. Gordon, if you would please come to the front. Gordon Law. Gordon came to us at a time where there were a lot of problems in this city. We just opened up a new wastewater treatment facility, and the challenges that came with all of that and the growth coming to our city. Gordon was able to somehow step in there when he was handed a mess that not too many people even knew about, take control of that, and bring us to the point where we are here today. We owe Gordon a debt of gratitude that we obviously can never pay. Gordon, you're gonna...
I'd like to let you try.
You're gonna... I have a cake plate for you here that'll help. You're gonna be missed. And we're very pleased to have Antonio here to take the reins and run, but you've just done an outstanding job, and you're a fantastic person. So we appreciate that. And like I said, we have a cake plate here for you. It's got writing on one side, but I think if you turn it over, you can use that for cake. And it's a little stand on there, but.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I think they got it taped it in so it won't fall off. But Gordon, I sincerely mean it. There's very few people that have had such a great impact on this city as you. You will be missed. So thank you again.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I would like to just slip on out. Is that okay?
you may take your plate and run.
I've attended about 580 of these meetings, and I'm not sure that I'll miss that, but I do appreciate the opportunity to serve in this capacity. It wasn't what I planned when I went to college, but I ended up here, and I haven't regretted that, participating, and it's been a great pleasure working with, over the years, six mayors, and a multitude of council people, and a multitude of issues to deal with. And I don't think that you get to the end of something and entirely lay it down without gratitude. So I do appreciate this, and I thank all of you for the support that you've given me, and appreciate if you give Antonio the same consideration, the good consideration you gave me as he begins to leave his mark in his way and in the same capacity. So wish him the best in all of it. And again, as I think with the very first meeting, I'll start forgetting everything, and that's a protection that the Almighty gives us so we don't have to come back. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gordon. Thank you.
The next item is the 2017 Year of the Lions Proclamation. I'll just read this proclamation. And whereas the Lions Club International was founded in 1917 and is celebrating their 100th anniversary, and whereas the Lions Club is the world's largest service organization with over 1.4 million members in 215 countries, and whereas the Lions Club empowered volunteers and served communities to meet humanitarian needs, encourage peace, and promote international understanding through participation in club activities, and whereas Lions Clubs in Idaho have distributed over 62,000 pairs of glasses throughout the world to provide vision screening for over 30,000 students, and whereas Helen Keller called the Lions Club in 1925 Knights of the Blind in Crusade Against Darkness, and whereas the CUNA Lions Club was chartered on March 6, 1967, and whereas the city of CUNA holds the greatest admiration and utmost support for all Lions Club members, especially in local clubs, now therefore be it resolved that I, Joel Steer, Mayor of the City of CUNA, Idaho, hereby proclaim 2017 to be the Year of the Lions in the City of CUNA, Ada County and State of Idaho. And we do have some representatives here. I don't know if anyone would like to speak on behalf of the Lions Club.
A lot of finger pointing going on back there.
But we really do appreciate what you do. I mean, all the years of the many members there that have had in CUNA and the sight trailer that goes around and helps kids get glasses, and I just can't tell you how big of an impact that has on our city and the country. So,
a major impact, Mr. Mayor. And my name is Dennis Burks. I'm the proud district governor of the Lions of Southern Idaho. So, Mr. Mayor, council members, and that, we can't thank you enough for this proclamation. What I'm able to do as the district governor is travel around to the 22 cities that have our Lions Club, and in turn, we're going to go back to Chicago for the 100th anniversary in June. And I'm going to take all these proclamations back there. This is the only, we're the only state in the nation that's doing this. So we wanted to be unique, so we are unique, just like the CUNA Lions, who's celebrating their 50th year this year. So come on over to the party, and then I'm sure Lion Pad will invite you guys over. So on May 13th. But again, Mr. Mayor, we thank you very much. It's an honor to be here with you. It's an honor to be here and serving with our CUNA Lions. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. I think all that deserves a round of applause.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'm kind of amazed that they have 1.4 million members and those three had to show up.
Cream of the crop.
Yeah.
All right. Consideration to approve a temporary employee for the clerk's office, Chris Engels.
Thank you, Mayor. So I put before council for consideration a temporary employee that would be full-time for the remainder of fiscal year 2017. I've tried quarter-time and half-time in the past, and it's hard to get somebody that consistently sticks with it. The employee would be focused on scanning and indexing of pertinent documents and identifying for destruction the permanent ones, or destruction of documents and the retention of permanent ones. To give you an idea, downstairs is full of documents, and we still have some at the wastewater treatment plant that we need to move down. We have two pallets alone that have 75,000 permanent documents that need to be scanned and indexed, and we just simply, there's just not enough staff in my office to get a hold of it. We're just not going to get it cleared out. If you go downstairs and look, there's both sides are filled, and then we had to fill in the walkway in the middle with the documents that we had to retrieve from the History Museum that have been stored in their, you know, room over there. And there's just a lot of documents to get through, and they're not properly retained, and they're not properly protected, just being in boxes on pallets on the floor.
Yeah, we're actually at the point when we retrieved the documents from the Historical Society on down there. I had no idea how many boxes were down there, but when we got those out and then we had to start putting those into the walkway, we're actually kind of back to a point now where we wouldn't even be able to put shelving in to put anything on anyway. So we've got to do something, and it's a monumental task, but I think with just a little extra help there, I think they can help to get through those a little quicker. And I don't even know what's left out at the treatment plant out there. Do you have any idea?
I've been talking to Debbie and Mike Borzik. I think there's still a fair number up there. There'll be a transition as Gordon transitions. Some of those documents will come back here. There's some permanent ones that are up there that need to be down here, so with the other permanents. I stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Chris.
I just have a random question.
Sure.
Do we give benefits for temporary employees, even if they're full-time?
No, it would. It doesn't fall under like Bobby's temporaries, his seasonals, because they'll have to pay Percy, and we'll have to pay Percy. But at the end, they cash that Percy out. So it would be the same wage that the seasonals make now, which I think is $1,104 or something like that. We looked at possibly doing a temporary agency. Not sure really that that's the most cost effective for us, so I've been working with John on what that best number is.
Thanks.
Okay. Further questions for Chris?
Mayor, if I may. I thought we already hired somebody to do this about probably a little over a year ago. At that time, we were told that it was going to be a part-time person, and that somehow has turned into a full-time person. So I'm just trying to understand why we would even need a second person if we already have a full-time person doing this.
Councilmember Jones, if I can backtrack a little bit on the history for you. Previously, the clerk's office had three people. And then when we relocated staff back from the plant to the utility office down here, the clerk's office then dropped down to 2.5 persons. However, we were sharing a half a person with the utility office, and they continued to need assistance. So the clerk's office then went from three people down to the two people. At that point, we still needed help, so we brought in the quarter-time person to try and get a handle on the documents. But we got through the LID documents, and we got through a good deal number of more. And that position then evolved back to the third person that we had been lacking for several years. And that's the position we've had approximately a year. It's not been quite a year. As things have continued to grow and expand and duties continue to come into the clerk's office, there just isn't the availability to address all of the documents that are downstairs. We've done our best. We continue to work on the reference copies that we got funded from the council some months ago. We continue to, you know, destroy and purge what we can, but there's a lot of documents down there.
So I understand that when we were asked to approve a person specifically for this person, that didn't involve or evolve?
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question.
Well, we were originally told when we approved the temporary person that was for scanning documents.
That's what they did.
And so I'm understanding now that person, we do not have a dedicated person for scanning documents anymore?
We don't have enough staff time for them to be dedicated to just scanning and indexing.
Didn't your recent report say that you have like almost half of it done?
That's just the reference copies on the permanent documents for minutes, agendas, ordinances, and resolutions. When I came to council and asked for funding to get the binders and the reference copies, which some of them are sitting out here, that was just for the permanent documents of the going back to 1915 for agendas, minutes, resolutions, and ordinances. Just in the building permits, the building permits are permanent documents down there, and we're responsible, the clerk's office is responsible for all city documents. We have two pallets of 75,000 sheets that need to be scanned and indexed. That's just a big number, and I don't have a full-time person that I can move duties from to work on that full time.
One of the things I wanted to ask is I think that obviously the concern is having staff time to do this work. And being that that is solely the clerk's responsibility, the clerk's office responsibility for the record retention and so forth. I am a little concerned that I'm concerned that the clerk's office is being given additional opportunities or work that could be used or could be done elsewhere or other departments. It could be used for staff to do what the clerk's office main responsibility is for.
And I'll just throw this out there. What my concern is that last year there was approximately 22 to 24 special events in the city, and seven of them were put on by the city, which was all done through the clerk's office. Every other event that I've been to is either put on an outside entity or is it put on through Parks and Rec. So I guess my question is, would it be beneficial to take those type of responsibilities that can be put on Parks and Rec, and since it being typically a Parks and Rec duty, that would free up additional time for staff to do the copying and such?
Well, Councilmember Jones, the Parks Department didn't have an additional employee until October. Mm-hmm. And so there was definitely a learning curve for them. And the clerk's office has shifted all the reservations over to the Parks Department. As far as the other events, the ones that pertain specifically to the mayor, the clerk's office does handle that as we take care of the mayor's schedule and his documents, and we serve as his assistant. The other ones, we work with the facilities department and we work with the parks department to share duties on those.
Well, I'm just curious, why can't we just turn them over completely to them? Turn over the organization and let them organize it. I'm concerned that, I'm trying to stay on point here, that the clerk's office has taken on a lot of responsibilities that has opened the focus. And I'm just curious as why maybe some of this stuff can be not say delegated, but given to the other departments to handle to free up time for you.
I think that the other departments are packed down as it is. I mean, each department does way more than what their roles would normally be. Planning and zoning handles a lot of different subjects that planning and zoning normally doesn't handle. Parks does things, and Bob does things, and throughout this city hall, everybody works together all the time. When somebody needs help, they reach out for help, and they receive help. But we're to the point now to where there's no more people, there's no more extra help to be had. So it really doesn't matter which department we put it to. We need to have somebody there to do that work.
Mayor, I understand that. I'm not disputing the teamwork that the city provides between each individual departments. But if we're going to hire somebody, then I would think that have we looked at maybe hiring another Parks and Rec? I mean, I'm not privy to the day-to-day operations of what happens here. I'm not privy to the responsibilities of the current Parks and Rec admin that we just hired. But I know we're unique here, but it just seems like there's a lot of other cities that seem to be getting by with three employees that don't seem to have the difficulty that we have. And I'm just trying to understand why we have that difficulty here, that when possibly we can hire another person to run the events, maybe a part-time coordinator, that type of thing, maybe do something else. I'm just trying to see if there's any other options to maybe allow another department that may need help that's a little over that can use another person too, and then maybe get that person over there.
I think the point here is Chris is asking for an employee to help file documents. We're not interested in completely realigning the way the city functions. This is simply a request to hire an employee to help get through documents.
Okay. Then my question will be is how long are you expecting to have this employee doing scanning only, and is that going to be their 100% responsibility?
Councilmember Jones, as I've indicated on the agenda, their focus would be the scanning and indexing of the documents.
So their responsibility is what's stated, and how long do you predict?
As I indicated, through the end of the fiscal year.
So coming this fiscal year, you don't expect to have that person in the budget anymore?
I don't know. I won't know until I can see how many documents we're able to get through. I welcome you to come down and take a look. No. There's a lot of documents.
I'm not disputing that.
Beyond that, it would be a request for next year's budget. This is for this year's budget, so anything that would go beyond that would come before council on next year's budget, if there is a request for that. Okay, is there any further discussion?
Mayor.
Yes.
Chris, how much are you looking at for the next 5 months, or anticipate in the next 5 months?
As far as the funding, the amount?
Yes.
I'd have to, I've been working with John on that. John, do you have a rough number?
Hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hear me okay? For the record, John Marsh. I don't have a number. It would take me a few minutes. I could calculate it, let you know gross-wise what we're looking at. Is that something you want me to do?
I would like the motion to include a price in it, I guess.
Okay.
And would that person be fully loaded?
Fully loaded as far as the city's entitlements that we're required to contribute to, so Social Security, Medicare, health insurance, no. PERCY's required, and workers' comp, yes.
So no additional?
No. No other benefits. If, give me a minute and I'll get that number for you.
Sure.
Okay.
I just think the motion should include a price.
Okay.
Would it work? I mean, the only thing I'm concerned about is if we calculate wrong or we hire them sooner than we think we would, that then they have to come back for more money or whatever. Could we just, I mean, are we fairly confident it's going to be, did you say $11.04 an hour?
Is that what this, Bobby, what did you just start using?
Yeah, it's $11.04.
And are we sure, I mean, would there be any reason that that hourly amount would be different, or would we be safe to say, like, make a motion that we approve the hiring of a temporary employee at the rate of $11.04 an hour, or the prevailing rate? I'm just trying to figure out what's, like, the easiest way to do this where we don't end up having to come back because we miscalculated or something changed.
Councilmember Bubendonderhart, if we, Richard Rose for the record, if you just stated at not more than $11.04 with the benefits that Mr. Marsh outlined, then that would work.
Are you okay with that, Cardoza? Or do you still want the amount from John?
I'm just coming up roughly about $10,000, John. $9,604.
Yeah. Excuse me, Councilmember Cardoza. With all the numbers that are added in, all the required city contributions, it's about $12,700. And that's assuming a little bit of leeway in there. It's figuring 6 months, which it may not be 6 months, but that factors in everything that's included.
Okay. And that includes Social Security and Medicare. Okay.
Yeah. Any further discussion?
I have a couple questions, Chris. You said there's two pallets that have roughly 75,000 documents each, right?
Together.
Or between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Never mind then. That's still... There's 36 weeks left in the year. That would be 50 documents an hour, basically, they'd have to scan in. Is that feasible? I mean, what's the time frame for?
Well, I'm just asking through the end of this fiscal year. So
right, but that would get us through just those two pallets. Then beyond that, we know we still have piles more. Is that feasibly, what can somebody scan in an hour, do you think?
You know, to be honest, it's hard to tell. Sometimes the boxes have permanent documents and they have non-permanent documents, and some we don't need to retain. I mean,
so it's a matter of just time going through them to see what needs to be saved.
Yeah. Sorting is a big
sorting,
part of it.
shredding, mm-hmm. Scanning otherwise.
Right. I mean, there's a lot down there. There is. But, you know, I mean, some months ago, there was a county office, and all their documents were down in the basement, and they flooded, and they lost, you know, a lot of permanent documents. And I don't think that's something that we want to have happen, nor can we access the information if we don't know where it's at and how to get to it.
Okay, anything further?
I move we approve the hiring of a temporary full-time employee for the remainder of fiscal year 2017 for the clerk's office at a rate not to exceed $11.04 per hour.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes. That motion carries. Thank you very much. The next item is consideration to approve up to $1,500 towards an appreciation dinner for city volunteers in June of 2017. Chris Ingalls. So I'll actually go ahead and start on that one. This is something that Chris and I had talked about. We have a lot of volunteers that spend a lot of time whenever we ask for people to be on committees and whatnot that are willing to step up and come down and take time out of their days. And I guess one that's very notable would be our Planning and Zoning Commission. They receive no compensation for the many hours that they put in. When these land issues come before us, we get to at least look at some debate that's occurred before we ever see it. They take those things on cold, and they go through the same rigorous stresses and criticisms and applauses that the council gets, only they do that for zero compensation. We have many other committees. We have, and this isn't just for everybody in the city. These are the people that actually really step up and show up. And, you know, you get a lot of people that say, yeah, I'd love to be on your committee, and then they don't actually ever come down and participate. But so Chris and I had talked about this, and we just really want to do something really nice to show them that we appreciate all the time and effort that they put into the city for us. So, Chris, if you want to add to that.
We don't have a specific plan other than Bob and I have kind of worked collaboratively, possibly just the city staff, doing, you know, salads and a barbecue or something to that effect. Like the mayor said, the list was, you know, being looked at as to those that really do show up, the ones that really are giving hours of their time every year to the city with no compensation. Did want to let it be that they could invite, you know, a spouse or a partner or something like that if they chose. I don't know really that we need all of the 1500, but we asked for 1500 just to make sure that we didn't need to come back. So it would be up to, but not to exceed that amount. And we do try and be frugal when it comes to these types of things. And I did check with Central District Health, and because it's a private event, we don't need any permitting through them either. So, staff, any questions?
About how many volunteers are we thinking we would have there, not counting their plus ones?
About 45.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Further questions?
Mayor, if I may have four. I don't think anybody doesn't want to commend these people that step up to serve these roles. I think they go into it knowing that it's a, I don't know if you want to necessarily say a thankless job, but I mean, I think they realize that they are going into this not expecting any compensation. I am a member myself of four different communities, organizations that are all nonprofit, and I do those to serve my community. And they, one, and I think even possibly two of them actually forbid the use of public money for my personal benefit. There was a discussion tonight on the Lions, and I'll use the Lions as an example. We cannot use any public funding that we raise for anything that benefits the members of that committee. We have a charter party coming up. We are struggling with the funds to raise that because we do not have the funding for that. Because we have to use private money to, in order to do that. I applaud these citizens that step up. I have a very difficult time asking the taxpayers to foot the bill for a dinner for somebody that volunteers for the city. I can't ask them to do that. I think these people do a tremendous job. I commend them. But to ask the taxpayers to pay for that dinner, and then even possibly to include their spouses, and I'm not going to say that the spouses don't have to deal with the same amount. My spouse has to deal with me being gone every time. She puts up with just as much as I do. But to expect the taxpayers to pay for this, I have a difficult time with that.
Okay.
I applaud their efforts. I don't think anybody disputes that. And I'm not saying that they don't need to be commended, but I just can't ask the taxpayers to foot that bill.
So
okay.
I'll throw in my two cents. Normally, I think I'm known as like a grinchy one, kind of like Pat, where I say, you know, we shouldn't pay for food for employees and that sort of thing. I see this as somewhat different in the sense that, like, if we're talking about $1,000 and 45 volunteers who each get to bring a plus one, we're talking basically about $20 per person, which is what we give our employees for their, like, holiday bonus. And these folks, I think, are doing things that we're really lucky people are willing to do for free, because some of them, I think, are, I mean, Planning and Zoning Commission is essential, and if we didn't have volunteers, I think we would have to start paying people to fill those roles. And so for me, I feel like a $20 a person showing of our appreciation for the amount of work they do, I mean, it would still probably average out to cents per hour that they would actually be making. So normally I think I'm on the same page with you, Pat, in terms of, you know, wanting to make sure that we're not asking the citizens to fund something that would more appropriately be borne by the individuals who are receiving it. But in this case, I view it differently just because we're talking about non-compensated work. And I think overall, I'd say we're realizing a savings from having these folks do these things for free. So I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm good with it.
Further comment?
Would this dinner be here in Kenna?
Yes, it'd be on the back patio of City Hall.
It would be catered?
No, the staff was going to get together and just, you know, kind of grill and get salads from the local stores, and we didn't plan on bringing a caterer in.
No alcoholic beverages, I would assume.
No, we were thinking water, maybe lemonade, iced tea, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
That would be up to you to bring.
Boy, you know, this is a tough one. I kind of feel like Pat, but after listening to Brianna, I know I've kind of been burnt out over 46 years of donating time back to the community, and I've never, other than a pat on the back, these people I know leave their families and donate to the community. And I know my children pretty much grew up and I wasn't there. So I guess I wouldn't have any objection to it if it was conservative, no alcohol, and done within CUNA. So.
All right, with okay. that, I move we approve an amount not to exceed $1,500, with frugality being in mind, towards an appreciation dinner for city volunteers.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
No.
Council Member Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you very much. Consideration to approve the findings of fact and conclusions of law for case number 16-12-AN, Renaissance and Mason Creek Farms, Spalding, Anderson, Colson, and Robertson, Roberts Parcels. Troy. Or Richard.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Richard Rhodes. Troy pointed his finger at me, so I came off your hands. I've had a lot of finger pointing. For Council's consideration tonight is the findings of fact and conclusions of law for the Renaissance and Mason Creek Farms, Spalding, Anderson, Colson, and Roberts annexations. On April 4th, 2017, your last Council meeting, this matter was for public hearing. Testimony was taken, the hearing was closed, and a vote was taken to approve the annexation of those properties. Before you now is your consideration of those findings of fact and conclusions of law. We've tried to, in preparing these draft findings, incorporate the testimony and statement made during the hearing. That is primarily contained then in Section G. For your discussion. I'll stand for any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Council discussion.
Mayor, if I can.
Yes.
Going through the notes from the packet that they prepared here and all the stuff from last month, or last meeting, excuse me, you know, the biggest thing, there was a lot of people opposed to it, and I get that. You know, they want to see what they want to see out their back window. But all of the annexation matches what's already been approved around them, being R4, R6, depending on which part of the development you're around. And if you look at the Exhibit C on the very last page that was adopted October 11th, 2016, the area right next to where we're annexing is already zoned mixed-use neighborhood according to the map, which this is a statement from Meridian. So per their code, that's up to 3 houses an acre. And it all ties in with everything the rest of the way around it. I think with the other, city infrastructure that's going to be near and the public future facilities, you know, there's proposed fire station Amity and Black Cat. There's 3 parks within a mile of there and actually another one a mile and a half away. I don't know. I think that everything that they've done meets what we need to have and we push forward with this.
Okay. Further comment?
Mayor, there was going to be a follow-up by somebody, I don't know who volunteered, as to whether or not Meridian was acceptable to this. I mean, Tim X said he had talked to Meridian, but I would feel safer if we as a city had communications with Meridian as a city by ourselves, not through a developer.
Meridian's planning department made actually an official statement that they had no opposition to the annexation.
We have it in writing, I hope.
It was on KTVB.
Pardon me?
Yeah, it's
I read it on the news.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually on TV.
Too. Oh, okay. Okay.
We have video recording of that.
It's taken us a long time to kind of get on the good side of Meridian. I sure didn't want to.
We are on the good side of Meridian.
We do not want to be North Korea and South Korea with Meridian and Korea.
Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you. Okay, further discussion.
I just want to note, since I wasn't here for the vote, I feel weird voting on findings of fact and conclusions of law that were arrived at when I was not present, so I was planning to not vote on this.
Okay.
If that's okay.
That's very good. I think another thing we noticed is that's actually an area that definitely is intended to grow. The 10-mile interchange there, I think ACHD actually has several roundabouts planned for 10-mile, and we have our wastewater treatment plant there. So with all that infrastructure in place, it makes good sense that area expand and grow. So anyway, is there any further discussion amongst council? If not,
I make a motion that we approve the findings of fact and conclusions for case number 16-12-EN.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in, actually, Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
No.
Council Member Boobin Vonderhaar, you're abstaining. And Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. Thank you very much. Consideration to approve resolution number R32-2017, approving agreement with Agnew Beck, Wendy Howell, Planning and Zoning Director, and Richard Roach, City Attorney.
I don't have a whole lot to say in addition to the actual contract, besides the fact that $160,000 was budgeted. The contract's for $176,196. Which is a difference of 16, just under 2. And the difference I will bring forth in the next, for the budget for the next year.
So just to clarify that then, so this year's budget is still going to stay the way it was. It's just that next year that'll be added.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
What's the final cost again?
$176,196.
It's on this page here.
Yeah, the last page.
Is a breakdown of all the employees, how much per hour they get, and the parts and the tasks and the hours.
And you don't need that money this year to pay it? I mean, I don't. If
we have $160,000 budgeted. And they're very much aware that $16,196 will be asked for at the next budget year.
But this process actually carries into next year.
Correct.
So okay,
they,
I correct. Just,
they don't they get it all at the beginning.
Okay, that's what I mean. If
they'll,
you need to pay
they'll
them,
invoice it
I mean,
as they go know. And it'll be paid out.
We don't have a representative here of them, do we?
No, they asked and I said it wasn't necessary. Sorry. If you want them.
Well, I just had some questions for them, but they're not here. That's fine.
I mean, I and Wendy and probably some other folks, I don't remember, Joe, were all at the presentation, so we might be able to answer your questions.
I just want to make sure that we have the, it seems that we need to definitely make sure we focus on community involvement.
Oh, yeah, that was,
that
a,
was
big,
my,
a big focus
yeah,
of their presentation.
Yeah, that's just my concern that... I understand that, you know, the current comp plan had community involvement, but I think our community outlook has changed. So I just want to make sure that they are inputted as
much as they can be.
They had tons of ideas for ways to engage the community, and particularly one thing that I brought up with all of the groups, and I appreciated these folks' response the most, was, you know, I never cease to be shocked at how many people live in CUNA city limits but have never been to downtown. And so, you know, how do we reach those people? And so they had lots of plans for basically meeting people where they are, you know, having tables at the grocery stores, potentially doing door-to-door stuff. I mean, just like mailers, just tons of different ideas and ways to really engage folks. So, I think they understand definitely it's a big focus, particularly because they were pretty good at doing that with regard to the downtown revitalization plan.
And I'm pretty confident that our review board actually put a lot of emphasis on the importance of the community involvement in this process. So
correct.
They did answer that very well.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a big part of the stated in the RFP as well.
Okay. Any further questions?
I move we approve resolution number R32-2017.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution number R32-2017, approving the agreement with Agnew Beck. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that is approved. Thank you very much. Mayor Council announcements. One thing that I have, I did go to yesterday, we met at Compass, and they have officially, by their estimates, put CUNA's population at 19,700 people.
Wow.
One thing that was kind of interesting they said was that every 40 minutes a new person moves into the Treasure Valley. I think we figured that out today with the calculators, 36 people a week.
Wow.
That includes Ada and Canyon County, but it's just kind of staggering to think. I think it's 1,375 more people than what they had estimated last year, so we definitely are growing rapidly. Anything else?
Did we want to? I saw the email about a May 2nd session. Did we want to talk about if we want to have a pre-session or just put it at the end of the agenda? I didn't think that had been resolved yet, but I could be wrong.
For the
workshop or whatever.
Would council like to have a pre-session to the first meeting in May, or would you rather do that at the end of the session, or would you rather do that on a separate day? Or would you rather not have one? I mean, it's kind of up to you. I think there are questions that need to be answered, so I guess the question is how do we get those answered?
We could always start at 5:30, like plan to do a 30-minute pre-session, and then to the extent we don't finish it, then tack it onto the end of the agenda, if that is kosher.
Mayor, being that I requested this, I have no problem with that. I have no problem putting it at the end, whatever. I mean, obviously, I do have a concern as far as not wanting the public to have to sit through it while waiting for a different topic, so I'd either go with the suggestion that Brianna says that we put it between 5:30 and 6 and then start the meeting, and then we put it after instead of having it in the middle where public members would have to sit through it if they're waiting for a different topic to be discussed. I don't know what the other council members, if they have questions. I'm not expecting it to be too lengthy.
Okay.
I'm good with whatever beforehand would work or whatever works best in everyone's schedule.
Okay. Richard?
I have no problem with 5:30. I think the only one, it's Brianna, whether you're the one traveling the furthest distance.
I actually work from home full time now, so 5:30 is great.
To 5:30 then.
Okay. And then if there are specific topics that you would like to have addressed, if you could get those to Richard ahead of time so he can make sure that he addresses those. This is a very broad subject with a lot of different parts and pieces. So anything you can do to get him some questions so he can make sure that we get those answered would be appreciated. Is there anything further?
Mayor, I have a question about a previous discussion item. I was curious, you talked about having a meeting with ACHT regarding the short line property, and I was curious of what the outcome of that was, if they're receptive to us buying that or.
It was a positive response, but nothing affirmative yet. So I guess we're waiting to see for sure. It was kind of the feeling that they didn't think that was something they would need to hang on to, so I think we're kind of looking into prices and making sure everybody else over there is on board with that. But so nothing permanent yet. The discussion is still going on, so I'll follow up with Commissioner Goldthorpe again and see where he's at with that. So.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further?
Mayor?
Yep.
Probably address to Bob. Is the urban renewal downtown on schedule?
Council President Cardoza, Chris Ingles for the record. I just got an email today. We finally got the final paperwork on the environmental through the federal highways and ITD. So we should have PS&E completed by next week, which means construction hopefully will start in May. We are running a little bit behind, about a month or so. And then the hope is that we are done by CUNA days, but it's really just going to depend on how construction goes, but we will be doing our best.
Does the engineering firm think everything will come in under their schedule as far as price?
As far as the estimate, the matching bidding, the estimates?
Yes.
They're cautiously optimistic. They really, really did a good job, I think, trying to know what the price was going to be at this time of year for this type of project. You know, it's different prices at different times of year depending on the work. So,
okay. I guess I'm curious because in talking to everybody in the construction trade, things are just going crazy. They're just, if you can find somebody to do the work, you better hire them. So the value of workmanship is going up substantially, and I'm wondering if we're going to be under our bid. So.
I agree with you, and I know that Bob does and JB does, the engineers. We've discussed it at length, as well as with ACHD and Compass, since it's such a multifaceted project. But I really believe that we've come back. We've gotten a little bit extra contingency from you in previous motions and resolutions, and I have confidence that our engineers really tried to hone in. The market changes, but I think they really did try and hone in on what the price would be at this time under these conditions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mayor, if I may.
Thank you, Bob.
Add to that. I assume that we've notified the businesses regarding when this is all going to start, and then are we going to have some sort of plan to notify the public of how they access these businesses, or are we each individual responsibility, or are we going to have an overall plan that we can maybe publish or something that these businesses you access this way, or what is our thoughts on that?
They are actually working very closely with all the businesses, working on finding ways for when their sidewalks are gone out front, how people can get in the back and keeping access open. They're actually trying to work to where it has the least amount of impact for if you like the bar businesses there, they would be impacted mostly on the weekend, so making sure that they have access throughout the weekend and those types of things. I don't know, maybe Richard can talk to what they've said with you about any of this. Have they?
They've been to my office, JUB, saying that there's going to be a disruption and that we would not be able to use our front doors when they tear out the street and the sidewalk, and that kind of concerns me for some of the merchants. For me, it's not that big of a deal, but for somebody like Enrique, it could be a major disruption.
Yeah, they, I know they worked with Enrique. They were even actually talking about cutting an extra hole in the wall back there to help him have access to the back. So I know they're doing a pretty good job as far as I've heard. And Randy up the street there, he was pretty confident with the way they've communicated with him. So.
And we've had the bars come in to do their renewal for their alcohol license, and I made a point of speaking with each of them as they came in to renew that, you know, that they've been contacted. Did they have any questions? Were they up to date? So we also, there's going to be a mail out that occurs to let the community know what's going on, to try and help those businesses that they're still there and vibrant.
Okay. Anything further?
One other thing. On the sidewalks, there will be temporary paths put in when the concrete's torn out in sections, so you still will be able to access some of the buildings from the front. And they also plan on doing that in off hours so that the impact is as small as possible. So it might be the access to your front door would probably only be shut down for like one day.
Okay. Anything further? Meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Hey, Bob. One thing I have heard from the merchants is if the city would put in hold.